Let us be attentive.
O Lord, save your people and bless your inheritance. To you, O Lord, have I cried, O my God.
Wisdom.
The reading is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy.
Let us be attentive.
Timothy, my son, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
Peace be unto you, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
And with your spirit.
Readings from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Let us be attentive.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you.
The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And there went out to him all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and had a leather girdle around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you.
Happy New Year, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When I was in seminary, the teachers called a meeting with the students to ask them what they thought about the curriculum. And most of the students had one thing in mind. They said, "You know, we would like more practical courses." Now, I don't know what exactly, I can't remember exactly what they meant by practical courses. Maybe it was divine accounting or something, I don't know. But I said something in opposition. I said, "Well, we're already studying theology, and that's the most practical course of study there is." But of course, theology being wound up and entangled with academia and having a lot of high-flown terminology and a lot of inside baseball information that only theologians are supposed to know might not seem that practical. But if you unpack it, you'll discover it is the most practical course of study you could undertake. Let me explain. Let's take the theological term transcendence. Whoa. Transcendence, that's one of the high-flown words you learn in seminary. What does it mean? It means very simply that God is the Holy One of Israel. That's his biblical title. Holy meaning it can't come in contact with anything evil or sinful or mistaken or mendacious. Holiness is that which cannot touch anything that is impure, that is not totally integrated and filled with integrity. That's what it means. What does that mean to us? Well, to contemplate the Holy One of Israel is not only to know something about God, but it's to know something about yourselves. Now, it's easy for us to judge ourselves on a curve and say, well, you know, I'm better than the next guy, or I keep 8 of the 10 commandments, that ain't bad. And maybe compared to ourselves or the other guy, we might seem pretty well off. And then when we grow up in a me, mine, my culture, when we are told so much about I have rights, I have this, I have that, I, me, mine, we might start thinking of ourselves as pretty far up there. But if we examine ourselves in the light of the Holy One of Israel, we get a better perspective on just who we are. It's not often who we think we are. But that's a good thing, to know who you really are in the grand scheme of things, in the light of God's holiness. It's good to have a perspective. It's not just that you say you're sinful and, oh, woe is me, and beat your chest. It's rather good to know who you are, what your identity is in the world. You're not going to make much progress if you don't know your starting point, and you're going to end up falling into all kinds of problems. It's what the ancient Greeks called hubris, overweening pride. And of course, we all know what goes before the fall, what goes before what the Greeks also called nemesis. Do we want to stumble through the world? Do we want to, as the words of the singer Paul Simon, want to believe we're gliding down the highway when in fact we're sliding away? Contemplating the holiness of God, the Holy One of Israel, can deliver us from that. Then there's another word, imminence. How about that one? Imminence. What does that mean? Well, again, from the Bible, it means that God, the Holy One of Israel, descended, took on flesh, and became what the angel called the Emmanuel, God with us. And begin to see that although God is holy, he is also merciful. He has compassion for us. He understands the lowliness of our condition, even when we don't understand it ourselves. And he is with us. And we can take the with us in two ways. He dwells among us. He's with us. He's present. He's present. He was present in Galilee. He was present in Jerusalem. He's present here with us in the breaking of the bread. He's with us. He understands us. And this should also mean something to us personally. It means also that God is with us in the sense that he's on our side. He's with us. He's battling with us, not with them. The forces of evil, sin, and death. He's with us. With us, we can conquer. With him, we can conquer. Because he's for us. It should also give us a model for how to live in this world. If God can condescend to be with us, how about we condescend a little bit to the others around us? Sacrificial love for our neighbor and our world. Why did Jesus say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted"? He's saying, you and I should mourn for the world just as God mourns for us. God suffers for us. God enters into our condition. And who are we to stand apart from humanity and judge it or criticize it or condemn it? No. We should mourn for it. Embrace it. Bring love and sacrificial love to the world around us. So you see, theology, I mean, I thought it was the most practical thing I could learn in life. What could be more practical than knowing who I am, knowing what my destiny is, and knowing how to fulfill it? Is there something more important than that? If you think there is, please see me later. I'd like to hear about it. But until then, I'm going with theology. And I'm going with the word of theology, which is the word of God, the word of the cross. The word of everlasting life. As Peter said, "Lord, Lord, where should we turn? You have the words of eternal life." May he, the existent and eternal one, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. Please rise.